that's what love is, like that is yeah. like the things that are
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing? You made a bet for me that I am, you know, trying.
Hey everybody, this is Ken Lavin, the correspondent with The Crude Life. I am live, local, late breaking here with the wonderful James Layman, North Dakota Commerce Commissioner. Did I get that correct?
You did. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having us. Thank you for inviting us. A lot of events going on and a lot of interesting things that North Dakota is wanting to do for multiple areas, not only for here locally, but also for the world, for our locally here, our country, and the world. And that's kind of what I wanted to start out with is Wyoming Governors Mark Gordon, Odessa's Mayor Javier Hoven, and Midland's Mayor Patrick Payton had kind of talked about this a little bit. They're wanting to help with the global energy crisis, and North Dakota is going to help with that in the Ukraine. Is this correct? Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, the way the state would help is by putting more oil and gas assets online into supply chains. So when you think about the pressures that the Russians are currently manifesting in Western Europe, and the constant back and forth about, well, we're going to shut you off our oil and gas, mm-hmm. it places the European Union or European nations at a disadvantage when they negotiate as far as how hard they can take a line or if they can cut off the funding that is currently obviously operating a conflict in Ukraine. So North Dakota, West Texas, Oklahoma, all those places, Wyoming, all of us could put more energy capacity online right now.
Right now.
If we had the ability to move molecules via pipelines, if we had more oil and gas leases, if we had the ability to work more closely with our folks at the DOE, et cetera, we can inspire industry to move bigger, faster, and stronger in terms of oil and gas production. And a myriad of other things, because Wyoming was probably focused on putting more, you know, coal online. And why that's important is it creates slack in other markets. So the global marketplace, mm-hmm. we all compete for the same energy and resources. So the more we can put online, the better negotiating position the Europeans are in, as well as the Americans.
Sure.
And the less difficult it is to wean yourself off of the supplier in Russia for most of Europe's oil and gas. So North Dakota believes it could do that. In fact, Governor Burgum wrote an op-ed in the USA Today, it published last Friday. I mean, it outlines a step-by-step approach to how America, Permian Basin, Powder Basin in Wyoming, our basin here in the Bakken, all of us can come online, come together, be stronger, support not only global markets, but then that would reduce the pinch it would have on people filling up their gas tanks domestically. So every time somebody goes and fills up gas, every time somebody goes and buys groceries, it's a little bit of pressure off of those gas prices and subsequently those prices for produce, for anything at the supermarket, et cetera, because we're all feeling it. Mm-hmm. But we can all do something about it right now to help us globally, but also economically at home.
I agree 100%. I mean, the supply chain right now with everything, just like we were talking about, not just at the pump. So many people focus on at the pump and not realizing there's a whole lot more that's going into that. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned about it being able to ramp things up that way. You're in turn, you're also, like I said, you're going to help out with the you're going to help out and over to other countries, which it, I don't know, it kind of made me think of, and I was going to bring him up, James. He's a producer, director, Oscar winner, Gray Fredrickson. He is actually about to release a new docufilm. It's regard the subject, the Sherwood Forest. And it, whenever you were talking about that, I was like, you know, that really brings up, you know, what they did in World War II, trying to get another supply to help out with the war and help out with everything else. So do you kind of see this as kind of like a Sherwood Forest 2.0?
Yes and no. Okay. Think of it this way. Yes, we need to get more oil and gas online like today. Stat. That's it. No, because we need a long-term approach, meaning long-term viability for people to get real about oil, gas, and how we're putting baseload power into the grid. Mm. And what I mean by that is any traditional fossil fuel needs to be looked at and looked at heavily, because we've seen symptoms of problems, whether that's the ERCOT event you saw in Texas, whether it's now the, you know, the pain at the pump because you've got part of the world where, you know, interestingly, doesn't produce oil and gas yet. I understand the eastern Ukraine does have significant gas reserves, and maybe that's part of the play. I don't know. But point being, we need a much more long-term sustainable energy model for oil, gas, coal, and everything else we produce, because we are in all of the above state, to continue to power the state, the region, the country, and the world. And so instead of just looking at it like, hey, let's get this 3 to 5 year thing to defeat, you know, not in since it was the Nazis, but this time it'd be obviously the Russians and the Ukraine. We need to look at it in terms of, hey, let's get real about oil, gas. Let's get real about the long-term viability associated with it. And let's get real about the next 30 to 40 years, because we're not all moving to EVs. We're not all able to just plug things in. Hydrogen's part of the mix, but it's not the answer to all of it. So this is our ability, you know, to look at it, yes, from the short-term perspective. But then, you know, as far as Europe is concerned, I think they need to get real about their energy policy.
I agree. That is great. I love the long-term, which parlays into something else that you guys are talking about, the carbon capture breakthrough and advancement. So if we do start upping everything, you guys have been helping, you partnered with Continental Resources, the Summit Carbon Solutions, I believe, is part of that as well. This is great news, and a big thanks. I'll say a big thank you to Harold Hamm. Thank you for helping out with this and up here in North Dakota. So tell us a little more about this carbon capture breakthrough.
Well, North Dakota, a third of it is geologically capable of storing every carbon molecule produced in the United States for 50 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
50 years of every carbon molecule can be stored in our geology. So here's the deal. Because of that, we have seen a massive expansion in terms of the types of projects we've been able to attract. Okay. So you look at the big gas to liquids facility that announced near Trenton.
Okay.
Their biggest their feedstock is natural gas.
Yeah.
Which means it should be producing a lot of carbon on the back end, but it's not producing the carbon. In fact, their customers exclusively, hey, we want net zero products. So they're able to take our gas, convert it to what, you know, basically a sustainable aviation fuel, and then bury the carbon. And then so someone pays a premium. You've got billions of dollars invested here. You've got a home for significant quantities of gas, and you're able to increase oil production as a result.
Right.
So there's, and then to the left of that, you've got carbon, which one day hopefully will be used for enhanced oil recovery.
Yeah.
So you've got what was once considered a liability in and around our region. We're able to monetize 6-7 times over from capturing their carbon and moving it to our geology. Some people like 45Q. I personally would like to see more incentives for enhanced oil recovery.
Okay.
I think if you were to reverse maybe the storage and the enhanced oil recovery numbers, we would see those projects go a little further west for EOR.
Okay.
So we produce the cleanest, meanest barrel of oil in the country.
Okay.
And people will pay a premium for that. And on top of that, we produce more gas, which then can then be used for feedstock for big gas liquid sites, for blue hydrogen, whatever. But here's the key on the Summit project.
Okay.
Like many of the projects that have been announced here, we have about $7 billion worth of projects. You know, they're capturing basically from neighboring states, moving it here, and eventually storing it. 45Q incentivizes that. But then it also enables, like, Red Trail Energy, which has their own capture and storage site, to enjoy premiums for their product because their customers are telling them, we want this.
Sure.
You're seeing that, you know, naturally at with Project Tundra. You're seeing that with probably half a dozen or so projects here. So carbon being our Carbon Summit Solution or Carbon or Summit Carbon Solutions being the largest of those projects. It's a $4.5 billion project. The other projects like Project Tundra is over $1 billion. The other ones are well in the billions and hundreds of millions. I mean, you've got massive projects here and a lot of money, but what it's enabling us to do is produce more oil and gas, capture it, get a premium for it, and then bury it.
Okay. Wow. It's huge projects, massive projects. See, that we're learning a lot today. That is, thank you very much for that. That is huge. Okay, so I'm going to finish out, kind of a soft finish here. So What are other areas do you see that North Dakota will be able to, as mentioned earlier, helping out? What are some other countries that you see that this is going, this expansion and everything that's going along, what other countries do you think it's going to be able to help?
Well, first and foremost, it helps here. You put more oil and gas.
Can I say amen to that? Amen to that. Amen to that. That's right. Amen to that.
So, and it helps us from an energy security perspective. You know, I, from 2000 to 2008, I was in the military. I've deployed. Energy security, in my opinion, is something that we've achieved and we need to retain.
Appreciate your service, by the way.
No doubt. But I mean, we were net exporter now, or we're getting there, and we need to ensure that we retain that energy security perspective on everything we do. So first and foremost, helps here. Then it obviously helps our allies, because our allies are currently up against, you know, the Russians. I mean, they're right at the border. You look at NATO, you look at the EU, they're there. You look at the Ukraine, even though they're not EU or NATO, they're right there on the border, right?
Mm-hmm.
Point being, the buffer's kind of gone. We need the ability for our partners, our allies, to basically take a hard stand. Then they would stop financing the conflict in Ukraine, obviously, with oil and gas purchases. I read that oil and gas purchases account for $250 million a day into the Russian economy, or really to fund the war. I mean, and if you're converting those to rubles, or if you're converting them to gold and silver, whatever the case is, they're able to maneuver international markets so that they're still able to accept payments, even though their banks have been shut out of SWIFT. Point being, it's better for our national security, both from an energy security policy, but an economic security policy, because people are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it gives us the ability, hopefully, to curtail future aggression by the Russian military.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's huge. And I'm glad that we got a chance to talk about that here. And I want to kind of finish out with that. James, I'm gonna say, thank you, James, here with the Commerce here in North Dakota. President Zelensky, I hope you're watching and listening in, because James and the group here is trying to help out the best we can. And thank you very much for your time. Anything else that you'd like to say to the viewers back home as we close out?
You know, there's a Ukrainian Heritage Center not too far from here in Dickinson, and I would love for people to visit that, understand who the Ukrainians are. There's so much misinformation. They're great people. And if you can help, help. I mean, it's just it's a horrible situation that these folks are enduring right now. So thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Guys, we will catch you on the next one. And again, James, thank you so much.
They keep telling me it's finally a phase, and then soon enough I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because who could love somebody like you? They say you're too, too, too damn small.